This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. All right, everybody, this is the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson. Hopefully everybody is having a wonderful day. On the knee surgery side of things, I bored you last episode with kind of a recap of my knee surgery, all that stuff. If you want to hear all that, go back and listen to the last episode. But finally today I have a guest, and I wanted, for some reason, I was hungry, I think, when I reached out to you, Katie. Uh-huh. And so that's why you're on this podcast, is because I was thinking about food and I saw what you do and how you do it. And I want to learn a little bit more about you and things like that. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. I think we start here. All right. Where do you live and what do you do for a living?
So I live just north of Dallas in Plano, Texas. And I started cooking full-time for hunting ranches and outfitters. It'll be 2 years this October.
Okay.
So.
All right. So that is... That's okay. So I've been to a hunting ranch before down in Texas.
Uh-huh.
And the food that they provided us looked nothing like what you did, like what you're making. Like the food, the culinary experience I had at one of these camps was more of like maybe a high school, middle school cafeteria type of environment. Uh-huh. But that was food, right? I look at your stuff and I say, that's cuisine, right? Like it's fancy. It looks good. Not only looks good, but probably tastes good too. So, elaborate a little bit more on this quote unquote cook for ranches type deal. Like, are you a certified chef?
I am not.
You're not. Okay.
No.
So how'd you get into this then?
So I've always cooked, just for friends and yeah. myself, for years. And I also was always in the corporate world. In either IT or healthcare.
Okay.
So I got laid off with a bunch of layoffs. Kind of like after COVID ended.
Yeah.
And then I had some friends that suggest, you know, why don't you just go cook for hunting ranches? And it was like, yeah, that's a really stupid idea. I'm single, no other income to fall back on. That sounds promising. So I did it. And it'll be 2 years this October. So it started just friends that own ranches. They hired me. And my biggest thing with game meat is everybody's like, oh, you know, throw cream cheese and wrap it in bacon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's just easy. So my biggest goal and the most fun I have with it is just being creative, not only aesthetically, but also just making the random things. So like, let's do egg rolls. Let's do, like orange turkey. Mm-hmm. So I try to get all of the stuff that you would normally order at a restaurant, but I try to get that in game meals. And 9 times out of 10, when you sit down at my table, you never leave hungry. But also the first thing they ask is, what kind of game meat is this? And yeah. So whether it's zebra or oryx or whatever it is, next question is, can I go shoot one?
Okay.
So definitely works both ways.
All right. So, but there's got to be a whole story leading up to that, right? Like, when did you start experimenting with cooking and wild game and exotic game meals to try to get to the point where you're at today?
So I started hunting in 2013. So okay. Not all that long ago.
Okay.
And everybody always said, you know, you got to find your zen, you got to find your peace. And whether it's yoga, working out, whatever it is for each individual, I just never had that thing. Mm-hmm. So the first time I ever sat in the woods, actually, it was an ex-boyfriend that took me out. We walked through every single caliber, finally got to hunt that year. And I would spend about 9 hours in the blind. It was just the first time I sat down, it was peace. There was no possible room for stress, what I have to do today. There was no list. There was no deadlines. It was just like that quiet hum, I guess.
Yeah.
And so just watching that forest wake up and fall asleep and just how the animals react, everything about it, I fell in love. And I was like, I think this is that at Zen everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
So I shot my first doe that December. And from then on, it was like, I want this feeling forever.
All right.
In every capacity. So that's when I first started cooking venison. And then obviously moving to Texas years later, you have pretty much almost any animal you can get in the world.
Before you moved to Texas, where did you live?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
In Michigan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you made a big journey down from Michigan to Texas. What brought you down there?
8 months of gray will bring anybody out of the state.
8 months of gray? Is that what you said?
It's either cold. Wait, I mean, you'll get snow Memorial Day weekend. You'll get snow, you know, as late as or as early as October, September. It is pretty. It's a gorgeous state. But it's just every time you look outside, it's just gray for a good eight months. I wanted somewhere in the mountains. And Texas became home. And then from then on, it was, I hit the ground running.
Gotcha.
Honey,
gotcha.
In multiple states.
Okay. So back in the day when you were living in Michigan, were you raised in a hunting family or outdoor family?
So no? I was that little shit kid that said, oh my God, how do you kill an animal? And how do you look at them in the eyes and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, eating venison at the family cabin up north.
Yeah.
My uncle's hunted. My dad's been out a couple times. And it really wasn't until I had that ex-boyfriend that we started hunting and I wanted to do nothing else besides hunt.
Gotcha. Okay. And so, you know, you used the word ex there. That obviously didn't work out. And then you moved to Texas.
Yeah.
Is it hard for someone to move from Michigan to Texas? And because the hunting culture in Texas is unique in its own way. It's like no other state in the country.
Uh-huh.
How do you fall into a circle of other hunters in that state then?
It's hard. It's hard because hunting is still a male dominant industry. Mm. And there's the two classes of female hunters. You're the female hunter that wears the low cut shirts and does it for the pictures and the sexual aspect of it. Or you try to fight hard on the other side and do it for the love of it. And then you have to, it's a fine line of respect for, you know, everybody that you meet. Are you a real hunter? Are you trying to just get hunts for free and whatnot? So I got into it just with mutual friends and could hunt, you know, like predators and whatnot. And then I started buying hunts and I would just go by myself. Mm-hmm. So my first big one was Mountaineer, New Mexico. Just joined a group there. They had a cancellation for one person, so I do a lot of out-of-state hunting by myself. I mean, I go with guides, but and just meet people that way. It's definitely a very large group of people, yet a very small industry. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So you move down to Texas. You get in with a group of people who are like already in a hunt club or something like that. And then they allow you to come in and hunt like predators and other species that aren't as coveted.
Yeah, it was ranch owners.
Oh, ranch owners. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And then just start meeting people that way, stay in touch. And then every now and then I start cooking for people just on the side as like a thank you. You know, thank you for having me here. Let me cook some food. And that kind of helped also.
Okay.
Get me into that. And then it just kind of trial and error. And I look at everything as like an artistic palette. So I want my plate. I want my plate full of colors. I want textures. I want rich ingredients. I want people to leave thinking, I want to make that again. My biggest compliment is when someone says, either do you have a cookbook or can you tell me how to make that? I was like, well, I'll tell you like half the things I used.
Okay. All right. Cool. Cool. All right. I forgot something that I have to do before we move on to the next part of this interview, though, is I got to say, send a huge shout out to the partners of the Nine Finger Chronicles. And I'm just going to do that real quick. If you're looking for, in my opinion, one of the best broadheads on the market, go check out wasparchery.com. I do have a discount code NFC20 for 20% off. Next on the list, it's turkey season. Run out and get yourself a Vortex Optics red dot for your turkey gun. And you can go check out their complete lineup at vortexoptics.com. Next on the list is Code Blue Scent, real and synthetic deer urines, the Ropidope mock scrape kit, scent elimination products, and so forth and so on. Go check out codebluescents.com, discount code NFC20. Next on the list is Reveal Trail Cameras. The ease of use of these cameras and the platform that's behind them is second to none, right? So go check out tacticam.com/cameras. Check out the cameras and then go to the Google App Store, wherever you download your apps, download the Reveal app and mess around with it. And you're going to see the increase in functionality there as well. So that's a big thank you to all of the partners who basically pay to keep the lights on here. So shout out to them. And so now kind of coming back to this point where you move to Texas, you get in with a crowd, you do some hunting for some ranches, you start to cook for them a little bit. Meanwhile, you're increasing your hunting by going on trips, like going on some guided trips. At what point are you starting to like do this full time? Is this something that you were doing as a favor and someone said to you, like, you should be charging for this? Is that how it worked?
A bit of that.
Yeah.
So I cook for a friend of mine out in Mississippi, and he owns Delta Duck Hunts.
Okay.
So he was one of the big ones. So I cook out there and, I get a lot of praise and appreciation. Mm-hmm. And a couple times he's like, why don't you just do this full time? Mm-hmm. And that was when I was like, that's a really stupid idea. So I did it.
Why is it stupid though? Why was it? My biggest thing was,
I've always just been in the outdoor world or, in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it was a fear of, okay, corporate, you're going to get that paycheck. You're going to get, you know, the salary's coming. It's comfortable. It's cozy. It's comfortable. It's a guarantee. Ish. And then it was kind of like, okay, I have to figure out how to open my own business, you know, get my LLC and get all the qualifications there. More unknown. So the fear of just unknown and just doing it on my own with nothing else to fall back on.
Yeah, dude, I've been there before for sure.
Especially
starting this and not knowing what was going to happen. And it almost sounds like you got laid off from your position.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, in corporate. Got let go. And that's when it was like, okay, what are we going to do? So I was applying for jobs. And then it was like, let's try it.
Yeah.
What do you have to lose now?
Yeah. So now how do you scale that to make an actual living? I mean, how did you create this business to the point where I can cook enough meals, enough days throughout the year to support myself? I know enough people. Like, did you have a marketing campaign? Was it word of mouth? Did you start calling these ranches? How did that work?
Honestly, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Free marketing, free advertising, just posting pictures. That's where I've gotten every single one of my clients. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they'll reach out. Hey, I saw that you cook, or I saw that you, every now and then I'll comment when people are looking for hunts. Some of the ranches will comment back and I'll reply to the ranch and say, hey, if you ever need a backup cook. Because my target market is a bit higher end. Mm-hmm. So more like the corporate hunts or just the ranches with a larger budget. I do mm-hmm. cook for some outfitters and I understand everyone's got to make their money. They've got to mm-hmm. pay a lot more people, off the top. So, my prices, cause I charge mm-hmm. per head per day. Mm-hmm. And that's breakfast, lunch, snack, large appetizer, dinner, dessert. And most of my stuff is made from scratch. So all my sauces and desserts and everything. So my market is a little bit smaller, but luckily just honestly word of mouth. So I started cooking for a few different outfitters and ranches. And from then on, it was people just, they saw my content. I'm going to reach out. So really, I'm just learning day by day and just asking other people in the industry and other small business owners.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Because you've put yourself in a position where you are hanging around the environment that you've wanted to hang around in, you know, like when you, even back in Michigan, when you got into the blind or the tree stand and you said, I want to do this a lot. Now you're doing that. Do you have a passion for cooking as well? Or is that just kind of in order to be in this environment, I need to cook? Or is cooking a passion as well?
So both. Okay. I always want to be in the hunting industry. And I did apply for numerous hunting positions, jobs. Just I want to be in the industry in some capacity. So whether it was hunting or, you know, sales on the back end, could not find anything. And it was weird because I know so many people in industry, but I just could not, couldn't land anything.
Yeah.
So I figured, okay, cooking. It puts me out at some type of ranch or some type of hunting camp. Because some of these, I'm lucky if there's a functional stove in some of them that I go to. So I was like, that's kind of the best of both worlds. I can be around the hunters, and that's all you talk about is hunting.
Yep.
So it's a dream environment. And then I get to go out and watch. And then if I have time, I'll help keep out the animals and quarter them up. And every now and then you get somebody really nice that offers to give some of their meat up. Or they're like, hey, can you cook a backstrap? And it's like, yeah, say less.
All right. So, it sounds like you're living your best life at the moment right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. So they hire you to cook. How often do you get you're here. You might as well hunt. Why don't you just go out and take a hunt? Does that happen?
That happens from the customers. They ask.
Okay.
I still have the time. While I'm cooking. So for hired gig, I'm usually up by 4 a.m. and I'm lucky if I can get in bed by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Just so if I'm not cooking, I'm prepping. If I'm not prepping, I'm plating. If I'm not plating, I'm serving. If I'm not serving, I'm bussing the table. And I'm real neurotic with the kitchen. So it's got to be completely clean between each meal.
Yeah.
And then, so as soon as I clean up from that one, I'm flipping the kitchen around for the very next meal. There have been a couple times where I get to go out and shoot a doe or two just to bring some meat in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually before or after, before that group or before that, after that for the next group. I have had some people, they'll offer, we can trade, the cooking for an animal, but I'm not quite there yet. So it's still a full-time business to bring in money.
Right. And is most of your clients in the state of Texas or do you travel?
Primarily Texas. I have cooked in Colorado, Michigan, Mississippi quite a bit, and hopefully I'll be cooking in Oklahoma soon.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, it's just me, so.
Yeah. Do you have any, like, assistants or, like, sous chefs or anything like that at this point?
No, just me.
Just you. Okay.
And that's kind of what's another selling point is it is just me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of work, but I also enjoy that everything you see, your whole experience is that's straight from me.
Okay. Awesome. Now, when they hire you to go out to a place, do they provide room and board as well for you while you're there? Do they give you a card so you can buy the groceries, or do you bring all that in? How do you set up? How do you know what you're going to cook for these people before the gig starts?
So you'll book me for, you basically book me to come in and cook and prepare. The ranchers will provide game meat. I'll pick up groceries on my way in. And usually in Texas, there's a lot, I'm sure it's everywhere, but curbside.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll put their corporate card on file. I'll log in and create a grocery list and a pickup order.
Okay.
So I show up with all the groceries, and then the camp pays for and provides all beverages. So when I show up the night before hunters arrive, and that's when I start prepping sauces and some desserts, unload in the kitchen, and then I always have some room on site. And if there's not enough room there, if it's more like a big camp style, like a big open room, they'll usually book me a hotel close by.
Oh, nice. So they take care of you. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. What's your favorite part about doing what you're doing?
The stories.
Yeah.
Just talking hunting 24/7 and then watching certain people, if it's their first hunt or their first big animal or their dream animal, just watching it. And the first thing I do after I bear hug them, like totally by surprise, because I'm so excited. It's like just to relive it with them. I'm like, okay, walk me through the start to the finish. I want to know as soon as you pulled up down that trail or sendero, I want to know every single detail.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing that look on their face and like just how they react to who they're calling to show off or just watching them retell the story, and you just feel it as they walk you through. I absolutely love that.
So the stories, are the ranches that you're hunting in mostly like deer, or is there a wide variety of exotics that, at some of these places as well?
So all the Texas ones are, whitetail and exotics.
Okay.
And that's, so that in this industry, that's so far what has saved me. Cause exotics, you can hunt year round. There's no season. You can hunt at night, however you want to hunt them.
Yeah.
So that saves me throughout the summer. Cause whitetail, I pretty much live at these ranches September through March, depending on MLD tags.
Yeah.
like this last one, I was there. I flew home to Michigan, flew back here, duck hunted in Arkansas for fun for a week, went straight into 3.5 weeks where I just lived at the ranch because we just had back-to-back hunters.
Okay. And so do a lot of these ranches have a cook already, or are you their main chef now?
The primary ranch that I cook at down in Eagle Pass, that I am their only cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the outfitters, they just kind of rotate. So if they want somebody higher end, that's where I come in.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So what does the average year look like for you then?
That's a good question. I usually, by the time March hits, by the end of March, I usually drop off to like usually two cooking gigs a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have like one big one in April. May's hit or miss if I have one. It kind of sprinkles out. So usually averages about one cooking gig a month for the summer. Gotcha. And then I start picking back up in April.
Okay. All right. So are you in like this happy place right now, or are you looking to expand to where you're cooking more throughout the year?
Definitely more throughout the year. I'm in a happy place. What I do day to day, just going out to these ranches, to get you to see different ones. Cause I've had some offers to become a full-time cook, like contracted with that ranch. So in the free time, it would be, you know, helping out with marketing and social media. I love it. I love the opportunity that provides. However, I really like the freedom of what I have. So if I don't have anything for a week or two, that's when I jump out and I go hunt and fish myself.
Gotcha.
But I definitely, looking for more throughout the summer. Also looking into possibly, I don't know what you'd want to call it, but just fishing, aquatic, something down on the coast to where in the summertime, you know, they bring it, whatever they catch in.
Okay.
There for.
Okay. So a fishing version of a Texas ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they bring their clients out, they go catch, and then you
cook on the boat or cook it back at shore, wherever.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. All right. Now I got some food questions. What is your favorite meat to cook? Let's start with that. What's your favorite meat to cook?
Presentation, rabbit, cottontail.
Okay. Explain.
I just love that you can have the legs and just sear them. So you got the big 3D on your plate. And a lot of people are like, oh, it's just rabbit. That is one of the most tender meats I've ever had.
Yeah.
And then what else? Honestly, a lot of those, it's all red meat at the end of the day. Someone's like, well, how do you cook it? Well, exactly how you cook a steak. I mean, you can put in anything, you can sear it, you can grill it, you can saute it. There's so many different ways to cook it. I think it's the most fun when someone's like, I would never think to do that. Like Dove breakfast pizza with Dove breasts on it. And then you just candy them almost like bacon.
Yeah.
So just try to get really creative with things like that. There's the usual, like the Access Wellington or Scimitar Oryx. That's a big hit. I'm trying to think. I haven't had anybody tell me they don't like it yet.
This summer, America turns 250 years old, and there's no better way to celebrate than getting outside and exploring this great nation. One way to do that is to rent a camper or RV from Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the U.S., making it easy for anyone over 21 to rent an RV or camper without owning one. With Outdoorsy, you can drive it yourself, tow it, or even have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. With comprehensive insurance, 24/7 customer support, and roadside assistance, Outdoorsy gives you the peace of mind you need when on the road. Outdoorsy is even the perfect option for your next out-of-state hunting or fishing trip. Right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed from their bookings in 2026 with code NFC at Outdoorsy.com. That's Outdoorsy.com and use code NFC at checkout to remove your service fees. Okay.
I think the only complaint is I'm too full.
Yeah. Which is a problem. Which is a problem. What is a maybe an exotic meat or a wild game that you've cooked for someone and they maybe had some hesitation going into it, but after they tasted it, they were like, holy shit, this is good?
Zebra.
Okay, zebra.
I think ungodly tender. When you're courting that thing out, you can take a spoon to its hind quarter and just scrape like ice cream. It is, they come pre-tenderized.
Okay, that visual scared me just a little bit, but when I think of zebra, I think of horse. Okay.
If horse tastes that good, I'm going to everyone's pasture.
Okay.
I have heard horse is tougher. But I, for whatever reason, zebra is, I mean, yes, they're a beautiful animal. They all are. Yeah. I guess I just disassociate it with horse in my head. I mean, I would try any animal.
How do you?
But there's a lot of people that will break that. And they're like, I can't do it. It's a horse. I'm like, just one bite. Just try it. We're not feeding you the horse in your pasture.
Right.
And I've had two guys that tried it and they, one guy went out and shot one.
Okay. So how do you know, like, how many times have you cooked a zebra? Like, have you?
Oh gosh, a lot.
Okay. All right. So how did you know when someone lays a dead zebra in front of you and goes, make me something delicious out of this? How did you know what to do with it?
All the red meat I cook medium rare.
Okay.
Unless somebody specifies something else, mm-hmm. another way to, another temperature to cook it too. Usually if it's something like that where somebody's never had it at all and they're real on the fence, I'll just cut a piece and just sear it. Just lightly season it. I don't marinate any of my meat, but I lightly season it and sear it. So you get the nice hard crust on the outside and basically it's pretty rare. It's about rare in the middle.
Yeah.
And I said, just try this bite first. Well, we'll put in some other things, but just try it. And immediately they're like, oh, okay. That was incredibly tender.
Okay.
It is.
Man, that's bananas.
But that is exciting. And then we always see Rocky Mountain oysters with any male that's shot.
Okay. So I had sheep testicles at like some dive bar here in Iowa a long time ago. And they weren't too terribly bad. But explain to me what a testicle tastes like.
Extremely tender chicken nuggets.
Okay.
So like if you just take chicken and put it in a food processor until it's like a nice pulp. Pasty pulp,
right?
Bread it, sear it. That's about the consistency. It kind of like it melts in your mouth, and it's like I have to argue with every guy. So like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I was like, okay, just because you taste it doesn't mean that you're, you know, whatever.
Get that a lot. That's their problem. They think they're going to turn gay,
and then they're like, don't tell my wife. And I was like, I wasn't planning on making that call, but thank you for the warning.
I hope I don't turn.
And then they
gay.
Try like, don't tell anybody. And I was like, it's only that way if you like it, guys.
That's hilarious. Man, but the thing though is, you know, there's a lot of people in order to get to like the level that you're at, they go through like a whole bunch of culinary training, right?
Yeah.
Is what you're doing like trial and error? Is it like, holy shit, dude, I blew this. I'm going to throw it in the trash, start over type a lot of that, or how's that work?
Luckily if it's something that I'm hesitant on. I want to cook it. I'll try it for myself. So I also, what you see online, that's how I prepare my meals.
Yeah.
So it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I eat that. I prepare it for, you know, 15, 18 people or just myself. I'm cooking at home. It's the same level and same presentation.
Okay.
I, knock on wood, I have not completely destroyed a meal yet.
Okay.
I lost my train of thought on that one.
Is there?
But yeah, it is trial and error. So the only thing I have taken is just a food and safety class. So I marketed as a private cook, not catering, because I don't sell any of my products.
Oh, okay. I got you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you know with a group of people whether or not to take a risk or something like, I don't know, try this raw piece of meat or try this extra off like cultural spicy something or other, right? How do you know, like how are you able to weigh the room to know what you should or should not cook? Or is that all set up beforehand?
Well, you gotta do everything 10 times before you know it's a bad decision.
Okay.
Because that ninth one might be a hit.
Right.
I'll come up with a menu before. So I'll find out what kind of meat they have on hand and I'll come up with a menu. I always send it back and they're free to send it to the customers. Almost every camp has preference sheets. So you'll fill out like roughly what time you're landing or arriving. Any food allergies, that's a huge thing. Allergies, intolerances, serving size, or like proportion restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only had one group. They showed up to camp. They had no preferences, nothing. Showed up to camp. And then one of the guys said, he was like, oh, are you, or I can't have any red meat. And I was like, the menu set, I got to start cooking in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I can't tell if you're fucking with me or not. And he goes, no, I can't have any red meat at all. And he just had this like blank stare. And I'm like, I'll go out toe to toe to talk shit. Like, that's no problem. But I really, are you serious? He goes, yeah, I have. I was like, wait, did you get bit by the Lone Star tick? And he's like, I did. He's like, I've tried everything. I'm an acupuncturist. So I was like, all right, let me run to the store. So that was the only like minor crisis. I'm going to adapt. But usually I love everything spicy. Like I want my mouth to burn with good flavor, not mm-hmm. just red pepper flakes. But I try to keep things semi-calm at camp unless it's reading the room. So I've got all my spices. I've got the basic meals planned. I can mm-hmm. always enhance certain flavors.
Yeah.
So I've had some groups that will say like, hey, do you have anything that's like real spicy? So I'll alter that. And the menu is always, you know, kind of up for grabs. So if somebody does come back and like, hey, I just shot this animal, can you cook it? We'll incorporate that instead of whatever is planned for dinner.
Gotcha. All right. So you have to be flexible as well.
Yeah. Gotcha. That, I mean, time. So you can have dinner. It's usually roughly 9:30 in the morning for breakfast, floating times, 9:30, give it an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch is anywhere between 1 and 2:30. Dinner, you try to plan on roughly like a half hour after sunset. But I mean, there's been times I'll start dinner at midnight if they're out night evening and they're just not hungry.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely you're there for the clients.
Yeah. Nice. So the stories, the cooking, sounds like you get to travel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Are you influenced by anybody out there, or let's say, is there a famous chef that you follow, or is there a category like Tex-Mex or Chinese or Italian or whatever? Is there a cultural cooking style that you like over one over the other?
There's not. I try to keep a vast. I try to not have it narrowed down at all. Mm-hmm. I try to keep that kind of wide open. I'll try to incorporate Asian-esque, like some different themes per trip. Mm-hmm. So like one, I started with Greek and then ended on just like your family style, you know, home cooked,
mm-hmm.
Southern type meals. I kind of try to give you a taste of everything while you're there. And then if it's return clients, I will ask, like, was there anything that you really liked last time or something else you want to try? As far as cooks, not really. There's another guy that does what I do, but on a bigger scale,
mm-hmm.
More to like catering large events. And he's built his own rig and everything. And
yeah.
He's a phenomenal help, resource, mentor, I guess, in a way. He helped me with my contract and stuff. He's great. So I use him a little bit. And then honestly, the food ideas, fortunately or unfortunately, that comes from my craving. So clearly I have a lot.
Yeah.
And I had one guy walked up from one of my, it was right when we first met, and I was asking about food allergies and intolerances. And he said, huh, I'm really glad. I'm really glad I met you because you should never trust a skinny cook.
So did you throw any punches his way or what
was it? I said, okay, let's follow that up. Was it good cooking? And he was like, yeah. I was like, all right, that's the only thing that's going to save you right now from a solid cup check. So that's the weirdest compliment I've ever had.
I'm sure that you run into some characters out here there's definitely booze involved in the communications, you know, especially if it's a corporate event and, that's nuts, man.
Yeah.
That's nuts. What else, man? What else about this whole setup that you have, that you've created for yourself, that you like or dislike?
Just the unknown. Like I still to this day, I'm like, I feel like I'm messing up because it seems too easy. It's, you know, you get somebody, sign the contract, pay the deposit. And then I'm paid in full before I arrive at camp a couple days before.
Yeah.
So that way when you get there, there's no money. It's just, we're good to go. We're here to play now.
Yep.
Staying creative with what I do, my meals, and then marketing myself. But even at that, it's kind of like, okay, like how do I? Everything's just a learning experience. It's a lot of questions, a lot of people, and thankfully, everybody's so patient and more than happy to help give advice. But yeah, it's just how to how to stay in the market, how to stay valuable and attract people. Because it's a fine line of pricing. That's another thing I struggle with is I've got a lot of people that are like, you're underselling yourself. Mm-hmm. Or you're cutting yourself short. But it's like, yeah, but I also have to keep in mind how narrow do I want to get my audience or my, it's not the right word. But basically, you know, I've got to be still affordable for the higher end outfitters. And then obviously, you know, the ranches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's I definitely have like a higher end market, I guess, target market.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you want to be.
And usually the higher end stuff, if you're really good at what you do and you can provide that experience of not only the taste, but the look, right?
Yeah.
The presentation, so to speak. And you can do that with relative ease, you're probably going to make more money dealing with the higher clients.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had some people, actually, I have a group that I usually cook for. They'll hire me just independent. So I met them through an outfitter, and then they hire me independently when they go to different ranches.
Yeah.
And the last one didn't work out. I was already booked. And the first thing he said is, it just sucks because when you cook, it's an experience. It's not just, oh, okay, we're going to eat these meals. It's an experience. It's the conversations, the camaraderie.
Yeah.
So that part's a lot of fun. And just giving people's time to just what they've done in life. And, you know, sometimes you meet these multi-millionaires that's just like, they've got more money than you can ever even fathom. And they're the most down-to-earth, just most logical, reasonable, laid-back people. And it's like, just those kinds of stories just really intrigue me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously keep the hunger to keep hunting and to figure out how to hunt more big game.
Where do you see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
I do want to do a cookbook. I've been asked a lot about it. It's just hard because I don't want to give up all my secrets, but at the same time, I get a lot of wives that they'll write me on Instagram or Facebook and like, hey, you cooked for my husband. He absolutely loved it. He's still raving about it. And that's like, okay, that's a huge compliment coming from a wife because that's my biggest thing is I make it extremely clear. This is strictly professional. I know we have wives, girlfriends and whatnot at home. You know, not everyone's comfortable with a female cook. Mm-hmm. But very respectful on that. And I've had quite a few wives ask about a cookbook because like I've never cooked game meat. They talked, you know, they raved about it. They mentioned all the things that you've cooked. How do I do it?
Yeah.
So I'll help them. I'll give them tips, but I've toyed the recipe book. And then eventually the dream would be to actually hire some people and be able to assign them to certain camps.
Okay.
But that'd be cooking, I guess, under me. Mm-hmm. If that's the right.
Yeah.
Right term.
Yeah.
So that's where it kind of breaks off on that. It's hard to relinquish on how I cook. And a lot of it, cause people are like, oh, what'd you do? I was like, I don't know, like 5 pours of this, 3 swirls of that. I don't measure anything except when it comes to baking.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know you very well, but I will say this. You got to put out a cookbook because I'm just scrolling through your Instagram page right now, looking at the meals that you've made. And I'm going to drive to Texas now. And you're going to cook me a meal. Basically, that's how good it looks just on Instagram. So,
thank you.
Well, that's awesome. So you're looking to expand. How do you as a cook continue to better yourself, to improve yourself? So that way, maybe you could say in another year or so, justify going, all right, I know I'm good enough now to charge way more money than what I'm charging because I've upped my skills, so to speak.
I guess a combination. Take some cooking classes just for specific cuisines.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do that. If I can branch out in other states, like I'd love to get out to Utah, Wyoming, Montana, but like backpack in.
Yep.
So anything that's used is strictly, that's all backpacking by me and just open fire and tent. I think that'd be different places so people can truly see. I mean, yeah, you can fly me anywhere, but do I work out in a tent? Do I work out with just a grill? I think the unknowns for people, unless they see it, they're a little lenient. So something like that where I can showcase and say, okay, you know, I have done in this environment. That would be good on the resume.
So I can't remember what year it was. 14, 15. It might have been 16, 15 or 16 or something like that. Maybe somewhere around there. I brought my dad to Colorado with me. And my dad loves cooking in a Dutch oven. All right. Mm-hmm. And he was the camp cook He stayed back at the cabin while we went out all day long. And then when we came back, there was a meal waiting for us. And he cooked for like, I don't even know, like six guys, I think there was, out of the crew. And he's not like you, right? He's not like that sophisticated or knowledgeable about meat, but he did make a really good sloppy Joe at 10,000 feet that to this day was probably the best sloppy Joe I've ever had because of the environment that I was in. You know what I mean?
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, well, I'll tell you what, man, I had a great conversation with you today.
Thank you.
I want you to tell everybody, all the listeners right now who want to find out more about you, whether that's your Instagram page, whether that's your website, share all that stuff so they know where to look for you at.
All right. So it's Katie's Game on Instagram. That's going to take you to just all the food pictures. Mm-hmm. I do have descriptions of what kind of meat I've used for each camp. In that description, I don't have it per picture, but always happy to give some advice and recommendations on meat and how to cook it. Another thing I'm learning as I go, I am in the process of creating a website. That's another thing I run into. I go to, Christmas parties or like the DU conventions and all that. And then the first thing they say is, what's your website? And then I have to hang my head down and say, do you have Instagram? And some of these people are like, no, I'm an adult. And I'm like, oh, all right, that's fair. So, making a website, and then I'm going to have a QR code, updated on the business card so that it's one of the changeable QR codes or exchangeable, whatever. But you can edit that and, that'll take you to the website and Instagram. So that in the next month, I should have the website up and running.
Perfect. Do you know the URL on that, what it's going to be yet?
I've got one that just says Katie's Game on it.
Okay.
Try to stick with that, but, it's not set in stone yet.
All right. Perfect. Well, Katie, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and BS with us for a little bit. Thanks for your time and keep on living your best life.
And I appreciate it.
I hope someday in the future I run into you at a camp or a ranch or maybe at 10,000 feet somewhere and I get to experience your food personally.
I like it. Well, I am freelance. So if you ever have a hunt and it's in the budget, let me know.
Will do. All right. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you. Good to meet you.